That's absolutely serious because we're talking about a region here in Asia with 2 billion inhabitants, and that's growing. So in future, that, you know, would be more. Of those 2 billion, 250 million, so a quarter of a billion people, are actually living in the mountains and hills of the Hindu Kush Himalayan mountain ranges. And of course, they depend on these water supply for their drinking water, for their animals, for their cities, for the hydropower, and for agriculture.
Since the Paris Agreement, we've had the idea of 1.5 degrees as the sort of acceptable level of climate warming, of global warming. But in fact, in according to your study, the emissions, if they continue at their present level, then on the roof of the world, we could actually see an increase of almost 5 degrees Celsius. Why that amplification?
Well, actually, there's two things here. One, a 1.5 degree world by 2100 would actually be 2.1 degrees in this Hindu Kush Himalayan region. That's due to elevation-dependent warming. So what we're seeing actually around the world in mountains is that it gets hotter faster than the global average. So even 1.5 degrees, a very ambitious target, if we achieve that, it will still be too hot in these mountains because, you know, 2 degrees is the climate threshold. The 5 to 6 degrees is under current greenhouse gas emission trends. If those trends continue globally, the world will also be 4 to 5 degrees warmer on average. But again, the elevation-dependent warming in mountains will kick that up to 5 to 6 degrees. Now, note there's a larger range there in temperatures, and that's related to, you know, the emission trends and scenarios becoming more divergent as you have higher emissions. In a 1.5-degree world, we know quite well, and the climate models, you know, are very good in predicting the temperature rise. If you go much higher, then that becomes, you get a wider range. But yes, 5 to 6 degrees by end of century, if we don't have urgent climate action starting today, starting now.
And that means lots of money. Your report is saying, suggesting that something like $4.5 billion would be needed every year by 2030, and that could rise by 2050 to something like getting on for nearly €8 billion each year. Now, these are not the wealthiest countries in the world, and they're not exactly central to current geopolitical concerns. Is that money going to be provided, and by whom?
I think so, yes, because I think, well, and I would add India and China are quite important countries. So these are two of the countries in the region. But in addition, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Myanmar, and Bhutan, Nepal. Yes, I think there will be investments coming into the region. You know, our report, I think, will become part of that discussion to both from private sector, from within the region, from governments around the world, simply because, you know, we're talking about 2 billion people. So it's a fourth of humanity. And this is, you know, just something we cannot let happen. So I am optimistic. And the figures you give might sound like a lot. At the same time, this was coming out of the World Economic Forum in Davos, I believe last week. There's $9 trillion U.S. dollars waiting on the sidelines of investment funds for good investment opportunities. So I think there's just a lot of work that needs to be done around matchmaking and having, you know, green investments to tackle climate change and have urgent climate action, and just making sure that the money that is available is used in a good way.
Philippus Wester, you say in your report that this is the climate crisis the world hasn't heard of. Why the silence?
Yes. So that to me is also surprising. I think, and that's one of the motivations why we, you know, brought together 210 authors and you know, spent 5 years in writing this report, is there is a lot of literature, a lot of scientific journal articles have been written, but it had never been compiled and never been brought into one place and, you know, analyzed and assessed by such a large group of experts. And I think now that that has been done, you know, it's a question of bringing the knowledge to the global community and that people can now become aware of that. I would add, even until 3-4 years ago, so these findings are very new, so even until 3-4 years ago, we would not have been able to say these things with any level of confidence. But the science has advanced substantially. So I think there's a growth in knowledge, and you know, this assessment compiling that knowledge now brings this to the limelight, to the headlight.